space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com, and if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms, as well as if you scroll down underneath the chat rooms, you'll notice there is a link for People for People Radio. Some awesome individuals you can go over there and hang out with as well. So there's multiple links all over this website called Shaziz Radio. All kinds of important information. If you're into alternative energy research, if you scroll right up above the radio player in the chat room at superchat.html, you'll see a resource link, Stephen's resource page. And in there, Stephen Gibbons had spent a lot of time and hours into posting links for everybody to be able to look into all kinds of alternative energy research. And that's what we do here. We look into alternative energy research in order to try to benefit the world, to help educate one another and, teach each other things that we've learned and that kind of stuff, you know, and bring all the solutions to the table so that everybody can benefit, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. So with that said, and also on Sundays, which tomorrow, same time, same channel, same station, same networks, you can also join us for the Knights of the Round Table. That's where a whole bunch of other wonderful people come from all over the place to share ideas and talk about problems in the world and find solutions and so on and so forth. So with that said, I'm going to play a little bit of this deal, Pulsed Electromagnetic Field Therapy. I guess it's off the Dr. Oz show. Stephen Gibbons in the chat room said Dr. Oz is an establishment gatekeeper. If he is involved, my guess it's it deceived the people somehow. I noticed they are treating areas specifically instead of treating the whole person electromagnetic field as they did with multi-wave oscillator treatments. And we'll get into that as well, because there is a guy named Royal Raymond Rife, Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, designed the Rife machine, which had a lot of really cool things that it was capable of doing, but, you know, we'll get into that as well. You know, some of the what they called quackery back in the days, now what they're finding out may very well be the actual cures to the problems. But nonetheless, I'm just going to play this live here. I'm not going to take the time to try to download it and then play it clean, so I'm just going to hear it this way.
No pills, no surgery. Today, we are changing the practice of medicine.
The new invisible treatment your doctor hasn't heard of.
Build the magnetic field around you, going deep into your body.
Is this the revolutionary cure you've been waiting for?
Everything's for real. This is new cutting-edge research.
Dr. Oz investigates.
This is how we're going to change medicine together.
Next.
Thank you very much. I am more excited about this show than any other we have done this season, because today we are changing the practice of medicine, and you get the help. Now, if you've tried everything to ease your back pain, your neck pain, foot pain, arthritis pain, then this is the show for you. There's a revolutionary cure for pain that few doctors know about, because it's not a new pill or surgery. It uses moving magnets, energy waves that change the way your body copes with pain. Wait till you see what we found.
You may not realize it, and you certainly can't feel it, but inside each of us is a raging electrical storm. A biological whirlwind that controls every cell, every nerve, every muscle, every thought. How you experience pleasure, and even how you experience pain. What if you could harness this powerful force field inside of you to feel better, sleep longer, and most miraculous of all, ease your chronic aches and pains? That's the promise of magnetic therapy, which uses the power of magnetic energy to redirect electrical impulses to the areas where you feel pain, so relief and healing can begin. The FDA has already cleared pulsed magnetic therapy for fusing broken bones, treating severe untreatable depression, and now to treat postoperative pain and swelling. It sounds like science fiction, but is magnetic therapy for real? Are we finally on the brink of a whole new frontier to reduce, even erase, your pain?
Now, just to be clear, we are not talking about static magnets like the kind you stick on the fridge. This is pulsed electromagnetic fields. It's pulsing moving energy. Dr. James Dillard is a world-class pain specialist who practiced at New York Presbyterian Hospital for many years. Dr. Diller, are these things for real? I mean, how can magnetic therapies help ease pain?
Because the electromagnets actually affect the nerve cells. The nerve cells are electrical cells, and the magnetic fields can actually affect how the nerves fire and quiet them down without using drugs that most people are used to, and increase circulation in the area and aid the healing.
You take care of a lot of patients. When folks come to you and they want medications or surgery or needles, how do you convince them that magnets might be a better solution?
Well, I actually don't have to convince a lot of these people. A lot of my pain patients, they're sick of having too much morphine, oxycodone. They're sick of all the injections. And I'm trained to do that, too. Many of my patients, and remember, more than one out of every three Americans is suffering with chronic pain now. One out of every three. Many, many of my patients want to try something other than drugs, unnecessary surgeries, damaging surgeries, and these deep injections. So a lot of patients, I don't actually have to convince them. They want to try something else.
All right, so this is really important. I want you to understand it well. Here's what researchers say magnetic fields are doing inside the body. Inside this mat, there are electrical coils. And when electricity passes through there, it creates a magnetic field that moves through the body. And it talks, it whispers to the 75 trillion cells in your body. And it goes deep into your body, places where sports screens and heating pads could never reach. For example, down around the spine, where that red, angry area is. Now, the magnetic field turns on, and when it does it activates these ions, these charged particles, and there are proteins in there, and there are signals in there, stirs these things up, and these charged particles bring in nutrients, but they also begin to influence things like blood supply. Now, when the blood vessels are going in here, the red blood cells are actually stacked. See, they're stacked like that? They're not supposed to be stacked. When they're irritated, that happens. So when you pass magnetic fields through there, that yellow line, it opens up the blood vessel, it breaks apart these red cells, they're not stacked like coins, so you can get deep healing, better oxygen supply, so the healing process takes place. You don't just feel better, you are better.
As a police officer, the pain impacted me tremendously. Trying to get in and out of the car, trying to deal with offenders. It's hard to do that type of job when you're in that kind of extreme back pain. The pain started 10 years ago. It was very bad. To the point where I couldn't function as a human being. Literally, I would be laying on the floor trying to do every kind of stretch, and I would have to call into work, sit home, lay on the floor with ice on my back. It was bad. I tried chiropractors, medicine, and nothing seemed to work. Then I started researching online everything to do with back pain, and the one that struck my eye was electromagnetic therapy. As soon as I got the machine, I remember opening it up, I immediately plugged it in. I was in less pain from just one treatment. I woke up the next day and I started hitting it three times a day. Within 6 to 8 weeks, the pain was gone. I have no pain today at all.
So, Mike, welcome to the show. So how is life different now that you try these magnetic therapies?
It's tremendously different. Pain-free, completely.
You're kidding me?
No.
I mean, describe your pain before this all started.
It was intense. I'd be laying on the floor with ice packs, seeing doctors, seeing chiropractors. Then the pain just got so bad that I needed to look into something else.
Did you talk to your doctor about it?
I didn't talk to him.
Why were you hesitating? Were you embarrassed about not talking to your doctor?
A little bit, yeah, I think I was.
This is, for me, the biggest point of the show.
Yeah.
I don't want you ever embarrassed if you find something that works for you, just because we didn't know about it. I made a big promise to you folks when we started the program. I said, we're going to change medicine today. This is a novel idea, and I'm proud that we're able to uncover it and describe it to you guys, but what's going to change medicine is not me talking about it. It's going to be you not being embarrassed to talk to the folks that are governing you in terms of your health, that are giving you advice, that are trying to heal you. You need to tell your doctor. Do you know why? Because every other patient that doctor sees is going to benefit because you were willing to put your hand up and say, you know what? I was having bad pain. I wasn't getting relief. The medications, the injections, the operations, they weren't working for me. I want to try this new therapy out. And you know what? It worked for me. Please share it with other people. That's how we learn in medicine. I'm asking you to help us. I'm asking all of you to play a role in improving the care we give you. If you go back to your doctor and tell them you did this, and it helped you, they're going to be curious about this.
Okay.
I've got some tips for you how to do that. Dr. William Pollack treats himself with magnetic therapy and recommends it for his patients. He's a family physician and a former professor at Johns Hopkins. Dr. Pollack, how can people know they're actually getting a device that works?
Well, obviously, if it's FDA approved, that's easy, because then it's approved for a certain indication. Most devices that are used today commonly are over-the-counter. They don't have any specific backing for them. So sometimes the websites have their own evidence,
right,
and otherwise you're going to have to do some internet work finding evidence for them.
I just want to point something out to everybody. Dr. Pollack is an advisor to patients and to companies and universities, and the products that he talks about, he gets paid it for, but we're not talking about any of those products on the show today, but you are a world expert in this area, so thank you for making time to visit with us. So Erica's here. She's been wearing a knee wrap that's FDA cleared for postoperative swelling and pain. Hey, Erica.
Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Oh, it's very attractive.
Thank you.
So how's it feel?
It feels great. When I have it on, the pain decreases significantly.
This is a picture of what it looks like from the outside. Pretty straightforward. But if you look on the inside, take that outer wrapping out. Inside, there's those yellow coils. They actually pass electricity through those that generates an electromagnetic wave that pulses into the joint, which is why, in theory, will have a real impact.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Paul, talk to us about a device like this. This is brand new. Why would a patient try it?
This is very good for pain management. This particular device is FDA approved for knee pain of almost any kind, including arthritis of the knee.
Mm-hmm.
It produces a very high frequency magnetic field plus heat at the same time. So you're getting two benefits in one device. Most devices are either plain pulse magnetic fields or plain heat, but they don't combine both of them. So this is very effective. It reaches deep into the tissues of the knee.
But I do like the idea that it's FDA approved. So, we found that the best treatments are these pulse magnetic therapies. These are moving magnetic fields. They target very specific sites where you're having pain. I want you to go to our website, and I want you to print off a one-page explanation of magnetic therapy for pain. I've made it really straightforward. Your doctor's going to understand this note, and you're going to understand it too. I want you to take this paper to the people who you're trusting with your care, and I want you to talk to them about it. But here's the big deal. You guys are going to go out there and change the way we take care of pain by being the first one that doctor treats, but you will not be the last. There'll be many other patients who will get that therapy because you guys were brave enough to go first and talk about it. Does that make sense, everybody?
Yay! Ha! Alrighty, so we'll get more into that here in a minute, I guess. Let me see, I'm trying to find something else. There we go.
It's time to learn the five rules of the electric field. The electric field is a force field that fills space, pushing and pulling on electrically charged objects. Rule number one. Imagine this red ball is a large positive charge. Now we can test out the electric field with a small imaginary test charge. This is also positive. As I bring it nearby, you can feel the repulsion up close. A little weaker with distance. And on the other side, we also notice a repulsion. Positive repelling positive in every direction. And that's all the first rule is. The arrows show the net force on a small, imaginary, positive test charge. Rule number two. Electric field arrows point out of positive and into negative. Out of positives and into negatives. But of course they do. That's the direction a positive test charge would be forced. Out of positives and into negatives. Out of positives and into negatives. Out of positives and into negatives. These other far-off lines will just keep on going to oblivion. Rule number three. Line density is field strength. That is, closer lines are together, the stronger the electric field. For example, if I add another positive charge to this glob of charge, it will increase the number of electric field lines, doubling the strength of the electric field. Now I want you to notice that the space between the lines increases. That is, the further away you get, the weaker the field is getting. If I add yet more charges, we have to add yet more electric field lines. You can witness the electric field in action when using a plasma ball. The electric field around a plasma ball is strong enough to ionize mercury, neon, helium, and even the air itself. Here, I'm helping the air get ionized with a conductor, a penny. But the effect weakens with distance. Rule number 4. Electric field lines never cross. Imagine two positive charges. The net force on an imaginary test charge would be this and this. That is, two electric field lines. Crossing? No, no. The net force would be in the horizontal, as the two forces cancel in the vertical, leaving a resultant electric field horizontally to the right. Rule number 5. Electric field lines are perpendicular to the source and the terminal. That is, they always come out perpendicular to surfaces that are positive and enter perpendicular to the surfaces that are negative. Perpendicular at all times. This can be seen in these lettuce seed demonstrations. Soaked in vegetable oil are little lettuce seeds, and each side is getting charged oppositely. You'll notice the electric field is perpendicular to the conductors, even if the conductor is just a single point charge. Notice also that the electric field is zero inside of this conductor, that is, there are no lettuce seeds moving. Review. As a review, consider these two charges, one positive and the other negative. This one's twice as charged as the other one. Now the lines must go out of positive and into negative, but the twice as charged one will get twice as many lines as the negative one. But the negative's lines will go into it. Now the electric field lines can never cross, so these ones have to travel to meet these ones. Notice that they're all exiting perpendicular. And now that you know these rules, you can draw any electric field. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah. Alright, so, like, there's a whole lot to get into here. Part of which I started off looking into electric fields because there's folks out there actually doing research, and I'm gonna play one more if I get the right one. Let's see if this is it.
Today on the Dr. Oz Show,
you don't have it. That's the wrong one. Never mind. Anyway, it's simple. And it's been simple forever and a day, but people, for some strange reason, always want to present things as difficult. It's not even remotely. There's the one I was looking for, I believe. Let me try this. 10 ways to see an electric field. Basically, moving a magnet across the computer monitor, you can see what's going on in the magnet, electric fields.
One of the most difficult parts about teaching the electric field is that it's invisible. You can't see it, but you can investigate it with various apparatus. In this video, I will teach you 10 activities and experiments that you can use to help make the electric field a little bit more visible. The plasma globe itself already looks like an electric field. Specifically, it's the electric field of a spherical charge in a grounded conductor. That's just the inside. But on the outside of the globe is where the real action is. You can see the electric field invisibly extends far beyond the glass when you use it to illuminate fluorescent bulbs. It truly is the strong electric field that's doing this. You see, the high electric field pulls the electrons off their nuclei in opposite directions, ionizing the gas. The electric field is radially pointed outward, which you can verify by taking a small linear tube and rotating it. Ha! It shuts off. It only works when you can establish a high voltage between the two ends. And that is one way to calculate the electric field, a difference of voltage over distance. You'll also notice that the electric field is not strong when you're far from the globe. You can see this with a neon bulb, or a diode. Nope, it gets weaker with distance. You can also verify this with an oscilloscope probe. The y-axis on an oscilloscope is a voltage reading, and this reveals that the electric field of the plasma globe is changing at all times. You can verify that the voltage is decreasing as 1 over r, as measured from the center of the globe. Be sure to have the ground input as far away from the plasma globe as possible, otherwise it may interfere with the measurement you're making. Now, you can use the change in voltage over change in distance formula and make direct measurements on an electric field. But be careful, because your body can act as an antenna and will interfere with the results. One more thing. You can demonstrate that there is no electric field drop in a conductor. Once the bulb starts glowing, it becomes a plasma, which is a conductor, and as you pull it out, you get more and more of the conductor. This might help you discuss electric fields and circuits. The Van de Graaff generator is a must-have when teaching electrostatics and the electric field. For example, you can use it to show that the electric field is higher near pointy edges than rounder ones. You see, it is the electric field that ionizes the air and makes lightning. A pointy edge can do that easier, because the electric field is higher. Notice also that these lightning rods are connected to the ground. Of course, you can also use the Van de Graaff generator to demonstrate radial electric field lines. For example, you can tape streamers on the top of the Van de Graaff, and they will point radially outward. Or, you can use a human. Find a long-haired human and have her stand on a milk crate for insulation. Remove all metal, such as rings and glasses and zippers, and with any luck, and dry weather, her hair will stand up. Another way to demonstrate electric fields with the Van de Graaff is to hang a string over the charged dome like you're going fishing. Watch as the charged string is amusingly repelled by the electric force field. But I think the most convincing way to show the electric field is with a straw cut in half and pinned to a meter stick. Now, you can probe the space around the dome effectively. If you want to demonstrate the electric field of two like charges, get a second dome, but do not connect it to ground. Their electric field lines will point away from each other, just like two positively charged electric fields. Take a petri dish and fill it with some cooking oil or mineral oil, and then stick two electrodes in it like these two. Then mix in some seeds. I like to use lettuce seeds, though many people use grass seeds. Then if you charge up the wires, you will see motion of the lettuce seeds. They will move to align themselves in the electric field. This apparatus is available for purchase from vendors, but you can make it yourself with coat hangers if you follow the instructions in the description below. It's important that the electrodes be well insulated, hence these plastic stands. By the way, my source of charge has been this fun fly stick for the positive side, and I use my finger for the negative or ground side. I used to use a Van de Graaff generator, but I find this to be much more convenient. Anyways, with this setup, you can show various features of the electric field, such that it's perpendicular to conductors, and
that there is no electric field inside of a conductor. See? The seeds aren't moving. It might be helpful to use a gooseneck camera or overhead projector to project the demo on the big screen so that everybody can see it and appreciate it. It's actually possible to map a real electric field using carbon paper with electrodes on its surface. What you're actually doing is mapping the voltage difference between two points and then graphing the voltage lines throughout. And if you can accept that electric field lines are perpendicular to voltage lines, then you can graph a real electric field in 2D. The hard part is figuring out what to use for the electrodes. You can use conductive silver ink, or, if you can get it, metallic tape. Some people even use actual bars of metal, but the silver ink seems to work the best. A reasonable voltage to set is between 12 and 20 volts. This won't shock you, but the measurements will be easy enough because the numbers are large. The result is that you get these nice voltage maps. And since the electric field is perpendicular to the equal potential lines, you can map the electric field near these conductors. Experiment and get creative with your electric fields. A real problem with this lab is that it takes a long time. You want to work to ensure a streamlined data collecting procedure, and you probably want to draw in the electrodes for your students on the graph. But the results are usually very good.
Alright, well, I wanted you to at least hear that. If you want to see that, those videos, what we're talking about here, just jump over to superchat.html and you can actually watch the video and see what's going on. But this whole thing about electricity is so ridiculously simple. It gives me a headache because people try to use a whole lot of high-tech terminology to explain simple basic science. For example, you know, when you get into talking about when describing voltage, current, and resistance, a common analogy is a water tank. In this analogy, charge is represented by the water amount, voltage is represented by the water pressure, and current is represented by the flow. The same thing that you're seeing in plumbing is the same thing that you're seeing in electricity. And so with that said, we're talking about pressure, and we're talking about volume, and we're talking about current flow. So it's like really ridiculously simple. I mean, the two mimic each other. Whether it be wind pressure, or water pressure, electrical pressure, all of them the same. Nature teaches you how to understand nature. It's that if you pay attention to what's going on, if you look and see how rivers flow, you watch what water is doing, and you can understand what's going on. Now, I started off this morning looking into the electric field because there's a lot of individuals out there that are working on devices that they believe that it doesn't have anything to do with magnetism. It only has to do with the electric field is where our source of power is. But the problem is they're overthinking it. You know, when you think about a permanent magnet and you think about the lines of flux, and the lines of flux are going from north to south, you know, the magnetic field when you have a magnet, they go in and out of each other. And so that process that's occurring is the actual electric field. We can actually mimic an electromagnetic field by, you know, pulsing electrical power into a coil and inducing a current, which in turn produces a strong magnetic field. And so we're doing exactly what the permanent magnet's doing, where nature tries to balance itself out, and once you release that, then you get a back spike of pressure. Well, we also figured out that, you know, as the man was saying in there, how these electrical fields, they travel perpendicular, because if you've got positive charges, they're going to want to push away from each other. They're not going to cross paths with each other. They're going to want to try to push away. And to get more current flow, you need more positive charge pushing against positive charge going in one direction, and the negative charge is obviously where they're wanting to attract to, like from your power source to your ground source such. Like if you see how a lightning bolt jumps from the earth to the ground, or the sky to the earth, whichever direction you believe it actually goes, nonetheless, it's opposites attract and positives repel each other. So all we need to know is that we can actually produce a lot of current flow by adding to the strength of that pressure. By putting more windings on there, you can actually raise the voltage up even higher on there. And the tighter those windings are closer together, the more that force of the positives trying to push each other away. So all we're dealing really with is charged particles. Everything out there, you know, it basically is energy, including you. And what they were talking about in that Dr. Oz video right there is not new science. It's been around for a long time. If you Google up Raymond Rife and check out the experiments that he was doing and stuff like that, you'll find out that, you know, back then they were talking about residents that could literally destroy one cell without even touching the other cell, because that everything out there would actually have a resonant frequency. And so with that said, it's simple, it's easily understood, presenting no difficulty. And the problem that you have out here in the alternative energy community is that people try to over think and oversimplify things. There ain't no oversimplify. It's either simple or it isn't, but they try to overthink things. If you can understand how water flows, then you can understand how energy flows. It's just that ridiculously simple. And so it's mind blowing to me that we haven't figured out how to use energy in such a credibly efficient manner that we're not tearing things up. You know, if you force a lot of pressure into something, you produce resistance, because you got so much that you're trying to shove through there, you can't get it to go there. Resistors basically resist the flow of current, but there's a side effect in a resistor, is that it actually generates heat from that restriction of that flow. And so if you know that, you know you can intentionally produce heat by resisting an electrical current. Just like you can have other side effects whenever you're with plumbing. When you try to resist the flow of too much volume of water, the pressure is too high, the pipes will either bust or, you know, they'll leak. And so that's what's pretty much going on. There's two different elements out there that we use in heating, and one of them's nichrome wire. And it's known because it resists this current flow. And so when you're pushing electricity through there, you can get this to get red hot, because it's trying to slow down the energy that's trying to basically balance itself out. You're pushing too much power through there, and it's trying to slow it down, and that energy doesn't want to be slowed down. So that's why induction heating works, and that's why that whenever they was talking about one of the other things from this magnetic field that they were talking about was actually generating heat as well, which everybody in sports knows that, you know, that when you get a muscle cramp or something like that and you put some heat on it, it helps to get the circulation going and helps to relieve the pain and all that kind of stuff, loosen up everything. It's kind of like, you know, the difference between cold oil and warm oil. Its viscosity changes. It makes it where it'll flow easier. And if your blood's flowing easier, then you can get the healing oxygen to your parts that need it quicker. And the faster you can get that healing oxygen to your body parts, and the energy that is necessary to help assist with that healing, then the faster you can heal. And so, it's like I said, it's ridiculously simple, but science and mathematics has basically threw all these equations in there to try to explain something in a sense of, you know, what's happening on a teeny tiny scale way on down inside there. What's happening, you know? What needs to be mathematically proven here or whatever. And so there's a term out there that they call quack medicine or whatever, you know, quackery or whatever. I don't know what it is, but either way, it is back in the day they were selling all kinds of devices that were supposedly to help you heal yourself. And they use basically the same things we just talked about. You know, like they would energize gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma, which is generating heat, and it's also generating a frequency depending on how fast that you're manipulating these charged particles inside there. And so there's basically a really simple explanation to what's going on. If you, I'm getting distracted. Anyway, if you want to understand how to make some super efficient generators, then you got to understand how energy travels to begin with. I've spent the last 20, 30 years studying just how energy travels alone. You know, and different ways to use the same type of energy at different frequency ranges and so on. And what I found through my research was that it was so ridiculously simple that all this energy is the same. Even if you want to look at a particle physics or whatever, and you want to look all the way down to a permanent magnet. A magnet has a north and a south, basically a positive and a negative. These materials, they want to basically resist each other. So if you actually take and break apart what a permanent magnet is, or even a neodymium magnet, and you'll note that there's materials in there that don't really like to be next to each other. Their charges are the same. They want to push away from each other, and they want to go to somewhere where it's an opposite charge. You know, and so you got this magnet that's sitting there constantly holding a magnetic field around it. And if you turn this magnet one way towards another magnet, they will actually attract each other. And if you turn it in the opposite way, they will actually repel each other. But nonetheless, the electric field that they're talking about is right there in front of you. It's what we call magnetic flux. You put magnet paper down over there, you can see the electric field. And when you put a magnet in front of like a computer monitor, you can actually see where it's actually dragging the particles, you know, that make up the colors inside your monitor. You can see the waves that are surrounding it, the electric field that actually surrounds that magnet. So even though once that is all in play, it's all stationary, if you could actually look way down inside, you could see that there is a constant motion going on in even a permanent magnet. And it keeps that field strength out there at all times. And we know how to replicate this. We can turn copper wire, which, you can do it with any kind of metal, but there's certain materials that we already know that, like copper. They say the copper has 29 electrons, and the last electron is actually loosely coupled to the atom or the molecule or whatever the proper terminology to use is. Either way, that's what they say. And so we use copper because it seems to allow a better current flow. And there's other conductive materials such as gold and silver and stuff like that would be better conductors of electricity because they don't have the resistance and they will allow, current to flow freely through them. But obviously we can't make coils out of gold wire because it's going to be expensive as all get out because people love gold. They want to get him a gold tooth with a diamond in the middle of it. Anyway, so now we got that basic understanding of how that energy is actually trying to travel, and you have a basic understanding of how your body is quite using energy to move things done and get work done. And that's all we're doing, is we're moving energy from one spot to the next, and in the process using the side effects of moving like a magnet towards a coil. That movement of that magnet towards a coil is trying to realign charged particles, push positive ones away and pull negative ones towards it, and so on. So they're trying to figure out about the electric field. And, you know, what they're looking at is basically a result of what we call a magnetic field. When you induce a current in there, you basically produce an electric field because pressure. So voltage is pressure, according to science. And that pressure is what actually gets work done. Now, the way that we design the majority of all of our appliances is they are designed so inefficiently that the transformers leak, and what we call eddy currents, and get the transformers hot, and if you push too much current through them, they will eventually meet the thermal breakdown and fail. So we know all that, but nonetheless, we still design our appliances and our transformers and our electric motors in such an inefficient manner that they end up not lasting as long as they could, and they end up being really super inefficient, and you use more electricity to do less work, when the other should be you use less electricity to do more work. You make it as efficient as possible. In order to make it as efficient as possible, you need to understand how that energy is actually flowing. And that's the part that I'm saying is ridiculously simple. If you watch water and you can understand how water and water pressure and volume and, current that as much volume as you're pushing or as much pressure as you're pushing will affect the current flow, that's the same thing in electricity. And we know that since, like, during Tesla's time and even Raymond Rife, that there are frequency ranges at which everything is affected. You take two identical tuning forks and you smack one on the table and then you put it near the other one, and because they are, made pretty much close to each other, almost identical, and in some cases maybe they are actually identical, but the vibration that's coming off of that tuning fork is able to basically be picked up by the other one, which is made of the exact same materials, same size and everything like that. So one's a transmitter and the other's an antenna, and then you stop one and start the other, then that one becomes now the transmitter and the other one becomes the antenna, the receiver. So it's, in my mind, when you look at things in a mechanical sense as opposed to trying to muddy the water up with high-tech terminology and mathematics and all that kind of stuff, if you just get down to the basics of what basic science has shown, what basic physics and what nature has, proven time and time again, pay attention to what's going on in nature and you'll understand how to build your doggone generators more efficiently. In the automobile industry, we have alternators that basically have to be energized. So they have to be excited is what the terminology would be. You have to excite this with 12-volt input, and then that basically charges up the rotor, which is inside there. And the rotor has a design where on one side it's got fingers coming down, metal fingers that are coming down, and then on the opposite side it has more metal fingers coming down. But inside this rotor is a coil of wire. So essentially you got a transformer. You got a primary winding in a transformer. And what happens is is that because of the way that the magnetic field and the electric field are actually going, every other one of these becomes positive and negative. So then when your engine spins it, spins your alternator around, that change of magnetic field is the interaction that keeps that process going and produces electricity coming out your secondary, which is your stator on your alternator, and produces energy for you. So you haven't done nothing differently except you spun one, whereas in like a transformer, you're not spinning it, you're just changing the field by expanding the magnetic field and then allowing it to collapse. That field is changing, and that's the only thing any of these electrons or charged particles are looking for, is a change in polarity from north to south. When it expands up, it's going north, and when it drops back down, it's going south, vice versa, depending on how you wound it. So you can actually change it just by simply putting the positive on one side and the negative on the other side, and then when you want to change the polarity, you can actually reverse that process. But when you understand that, you understand how simple it is to basically build a transformer, and when you understand how timing and frequency is important, then you know that if you want the full power from a transformer, you got to allow enough time for that magnetic field to finally reach its maximum potential. If at 12 volts you have a magnetic field that is 12 inches in diameter, then that is the full maximum strength of that field. And let's just say hypothetically it takes an eighth of a second to get from zero all the way up to its full deal. So you know you got an eighth of a second that you got to have to for that field to fully expand. Now we also got to talk about going back the other direction. When you take the power loose and allow that field to collapse, you need to know exactly how much time it takes to collapse that field. So if electricity is instantaneous, then that means if it took 8 seconds to get up there, it's going to take 8 seconds to get back. And so if you time your rotors out for every 0.8 seconds, then eighth of a second, point it, or whatever, eighth of a second. If you time it out to expand every eighth of a second and collapse every eighth of a second, then you can get the maximum amount of usage out of those transformers. Because it's not just the energy as it's going out that you can use, because there's a force being presented by that. It's also the field as it is collapsing, it's taking the field back in the opposite direction. And when it comes down to medical and resonance and all that, you know, this isn't new technology. And you could probably even go back into saying it maybe went back thousands of years. Who knows? But it's technology that, instead of using, you know, something as simple as understanding energy and moving energy, like in the Chinese cultures and the Japanese cultures, they understood, you know, some of them called it chi, you know, energy from inside that you could focus, you know, you could think of to bring all your energy from, you know, up inside your body down through your arm and let it explode out through your fist and knock somebody out. You know, of course, don't advocate violence here on Shaziz Radio, but that's just an example of how powerful. You know, you see it all the time in people in extreme circumstances end up with like superpowers because, you know, they somehow or another was able to focus energy that they didn't even know they had. Maybe even after that, because they were in such poor shape that they probably pulled a muscle or two in the process, because their muscle probably wasn't meant to do what it did. But then again, maybe it was. Maybe their body and your body is a whole lot more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Imagine if you could use your body to its maximum efficiency. If you knew your exact limitations of what you could do and what you can't do, then you would know how far that you could go, you know, sports-wise or, you know, physical fitness-wise or whatever. And when you get a grip on all the basics of everything, you don't need all this high-tech terminology and trigonometry and geometry to explain to you how something's actually functioning. You can use your own two eyes and all your senses to realize, you know, this is really powerful, whereas this isn't so powerful. And work accordingly to it. And so, when it comes to alternative energy, there's a hindrance out there. There's a lot of people out there that don't like alternative energy. There's a lot of people that don't want you to know about any potential free energy. We don't even have to really necessarily talk about free energy anymore, because if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because we've proven over and over and over again that energy is quite literally free. You're surrounded in it. You're floating in a sea of it. Now the question is, how are we going to get that energy into a useful product that's going to uplift people around the world so that they can, you know, enjoy the luxuries of life that people in so-called first world countries enjoy? You know, it's this is what drives me nuts, is because you're surrounded by energy. A man can stand right next to the ocean and die of thirst, because he's been told all his life that he can't drink that water, that salt water, because it'll kill him. You know, too much salt in there. Well, if you pay attention in basic science and understand how to distill that water, right there on the beach, there's videos out there on YouTube where people are quite literally using trash off the beach, such as plastic bottles, and known physics in order to boil the water on one side and condense it on the other side, and in the process separate the salt from the seawater and be able to have fresh water to drink. Now, if the majority of the average citizen out there doesn't know these simple concepts, then I would say that our education system has quite literally failed when it comes to science. So, there are so many solutions available to make this world so much more efficient, so much better. People out there, you know, I probably made some people mad because there's a video that I watched the other day that I commented on, that there is a pile of, basically a island of trash. They say that's larger than Texas. A large plastic containers and stuff like that, that either got washed out to sea by a tsunami, or somebody threw it off in the road and it washed down the creek, which eventually made it to the river and finally made it out to the ocean. And because of the way the stream works, it basically all ends up at the same exact spot. Well, you know, just I get on there and I say, you know, that is wonderful for whoever decides to claim it. Because you can recycle all that. Every single bit of it's going to get recycled into the earth anyway. And, you know, so why not on a grand scale or even a small business scale, why not go out there and recycle that? Why not reuse that material? You're all constantly digging into the earth to dig up more material. And so, with that said, if you got free material out there, then why not use it? That's the whole deal. You would be surprised if you actually paid attention to how much stuff actually makes it in the trash. Dumps out there are quite literal gold mines. For real. I mean, there's gold in them Nar Hills. There's silver in there. There's, you know, all different types of metals and alloys and plastics and all this kind of stuff. And those companies that figured out that they could take somebody else's trash and recycle it and make money, and not only that, utilize biological portions of it to turn into useful gases such as methane, are basically running their trucks and doing all their machinery using materials from garbage. And if one company can do that, then one would have to ask, why is it that all companies can't do that? Why can't the average Joe do that? Why can't you turn your household trash into treasure? Separate all the metals, separate all the plastics. There are individuals out there in Europe that basically took plastic bottles and turned it into, in their terminology, petrol. It would be gasoline over here for us. You know, it's the difference between talking to an Englishman and a redneck. You're going to get a different word out of there. Or if you go down in the hood, you might get a different word. Yeah, this whole lack of communication. What we have here is a failure to communicate. But nonetheless, all of what I'm talking about here is so ridiculously simple that we shouldn't be having all these disputes over, you know, anything having to do with energy. The oil companies obviously want to stay rich. And so they don't want you talking about things. And there are people out there who are, you know, basically presenting themselves as educated, who, instead of trying to, you know, have a scientific debate with somebody, will get on their YouTube channels and they'll foul-mouth people, tell everybody how stupid they are. You can't use water as fuel and blah blah and hydrogen technology and all that. And every time they do that, they make themselves sound foolish. But you know how many people actually in the comment section will jump on the bandwagon with that knucklehead and say the same stupid stuff, quoting every single thing that the school book says. So, you know, and you wonder why I call it mad science. Well, that's exactly why I call it mad science, because common sense, it just doesn't, I mean, let's see if somebody wants to join in here. Sorry about that. That's terrible for radio. But I want to make sure. Anyway, so here we have an opportunity standing at these crossroads to come together and start putting things together that will function. And if you could leave your egos at home and come together with one another and actually listen to what each other's saying and stop trying to overthink things, we can have energy independence quite literally overnight. It's that simple. And so, I don't know what to do. And it just drives me insane, because as the ideas are flowing through my brain and I'm trying to share them out, I've noticed a trend here in the last, I don't know, year or so maybe. My YouTube videos are getting farther and farther apart. Now, the last one I did was about a month ago, because I'm getting frustrated with the scene. I'm getting frustrated with the whole concept of trying to, you know, share information and ideas with the world, because I'm quite literally getting tired of being cussed at. I'm quite literally getting tired of being told how ignorant I am because I don't use the high-tech terminology. And I'm quite literally getting tired of people arguing over something that should be ridiculously simple. What's wrong with this world? You know, it's okay for your governments of the world to go out there and fight over resources with other nations that they have no business even being in. It's okay for them to charge you taxes on your breath, or your cows farting, or your chicken burping, or whatever. But, you know, they want to tell you that the planet's, you know, doomed because of a natural plant food or a natural exhaustive, you know, interaction between your body and the air that you breathe. And yet, when it comes down to listening to somebody saying, look, this is a simple solution, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. The only thing that is even plausible is they don't care about solutions. They only care about the money, and that's it. Basic money, just like in the medical industry. And the only reason why I played this Dr. Oz thing was because I'm hearing them talk now about it, where before you were a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase because you said that you could actually heal yourself with the energy and frequency. Well, Raymond Rice showed the science of it. And of course, you see how well that went. And Stan Myers was driving around in a car in the 70s on hydrogen technology. And there are people out there who claim to be geniuses who should understand that water is hydrogen and oxygen, and the two separated are quite literal fuel. But they're so stuck in, the book, they're so stuck in their indoctrination that they will literally come out there and degrade anybody who says the contrary and call them ignorant. You know, use terminology like pseudoscience. If you don't understand that water is fuel, then you're utilizing pseudoscience. You're making it up as you go, quite literally. Because it's already been proven that water is hydrogen and oxygen. That's what science says. That's out of the science book. And we already know that when we put a flame to water, that we can raise the temperature of that water up. And if you pay attention to what's going on at a smaller scale of how that water is actually being interacted with, it's not that the heat is actually doing something, it's the energy being radiated from that heat, sending waves out there, is actually interacting with what they call a dipole molecule, which is water. So as this radiant energy is being radiated away from, out in the form of wavelengths, it's rocking those water molecules back and forth and causing friction, which in turn produces yet even more heat. It transfers the energy that we call heat via radiant waves that go through and interact through a glass plate or through a metal pan. It transfers that energy through that and interacts with the water molecule. So we know how we can actually warm ourselves up and quite literally cook ourselves, if done improperly, using energy, using waves, what we call the electromagnetic waves. You know, when you induce, anytime you use energy, you produce heat because something happens. Even if it's not even, you know, cold, they say, is absent of heat, or vice versa. So if it ain't hot, then it's cold. You know, but the energy that we call heat, that we know is heat, that is a bunch of molecules bouncing off of each other because they're trying to realign, but they can't because something's going on, that energy can be stored. Like, as in a thermos, you can put hot water inside a thermos with insulation, and the energy is not able to radiate away from this water, and so it stays hot. It stays energized in there for longer periods of time. And after a while, a long while, if you go out there, you'll find there's thermoses out there that are so incredibly insulated, the R factor on there, the resistance to outside change or anything like that, your coffee in your thermos will stay hot for hours. And if it's warmer outside, then it'll stay hot inside there even longer. And so we understand how energy travels. We understand how hot and cold functions. And we understand how we can actually change a liquid into a gas just by using this energy to energize water and boil it and then eventually turn it into steam, which is now no longer a liquid, it's a gas. And we can break it down yet even farther into a vapor And then we can separate those water molecules into its two separate components, and both of which, all you need is an ignition source, which the water actually produces as the two are separating. When hydrogen separates and combines, it releases an electrical charge, like pulling two pieces of material that have static electricity. You know, one side's charged different or whatever, and they're clinging together. When you pull them off, you can see that little static charge, like when you see in the wintertime when you're underneath your blankets and you got like wool socks on or something trying to stay warm, and you pull your blanket and you can feel that static electricity build up. It's charged particles, and all we've been doing is charging particles, and the way that we guide them into certain directions, like through copper wire, we're able to build up stronger forces because of the way that we're doing this. A whole bunch of turns of positive charge particles trying to find their way to a path to ground, and it's actually producing a pressure that you could then in turn use to get work done. And so they understood they could wind 1,000 turns on there to get some higher voltage, or they can wind lesser with thicker wire to be able to get a higher current. Once you got all that in your head and you understand it, it don't take that much energy to actually produce a magnetic field. And it's the resistance to that energy that causes things to get hot. And so if you know the proper timing of it, you don't even have time to get hot. If you have the proper materials that can absorb the strength of that magnetic field, then you don't even have the eddy currents to contend with, because the eddy currents are basically the equivalents of water coming down the Niagara Falls down into the pool at the bottom. Between all that force and pressure and speed and everything that's going on with physics and what they call gravity or whatever, it slams that water into that pool, and since it don't have an immediate place it can go, it backs up. Now you get all this volume of water and all this pressure that's trying to find a place to go. It wants to be at rest. Everything in this world wants to be at rest. It wants to be balanced out. It doesn't want to be moved around. And so when we move it around, when we're moving around what we call a magnetic field, and we're producing electrical field, which is what we want in order to produce another magnetic field using that electrical field in order to get work done. So we're using two sides of the same coin to do the same doggone work in order to be able to have lights and all that kind of stuff. And we know that once we pulse this field in and out, that we get this current flow going on that we then in turn send through different types of materials, some that are designed specifically to resist that current flow and cause the light bulb to come on, or the heating element in your electric heater to function. If we just got down to the point where we didn't strive for the holy grail of over unity and zero point and whatever, and maybe even free energy for Pete's sake. You know, if you can't find free energy, you ain't looking for it anyway. It's all ridiculous. But nonetheless, if we just, as in the alternative energy community, strive for nothing more than efficiency. The higher the efficiency, the better. You think there's companies out there that claim that they're shooting for higher efficiencies, but they're still making the same exact mistake in the way that they design things. They're still requiring, trying to force more energy needed for these fields to interact with each other in order to try to get work done. When in reality, you don't have to bring magnets too close together and they'll interact with each other. Depending on the strength of that field, like neodymium magnets, you could have a foot or two or even more in between two neo magnets and rolling one around in a circle, and you'll see that that field is so strong it will move the magnet clear across the room. It's all basic understanding. And if you get that down, then the rest of it's a piece of cake. But, you know, like I said, there are people out there that just want to, you know, either suppress it, you know, troll you for trying to share an idea, or, you know, have such big egos. Well, you don't understand how energy travels. You don't understand electricity. You don't even know what you're talking about. Well, if a gear turns to the right, and it is in touch with another gear, then that gear is going to turn in the opposite direction because of the way that you're turning it. If it's one's going counterclockwise, the next one in line is going to go in the opposite direction. That's how gears work. And we know that if we take this big gear and we put it on the little gear, the little gears are going to be able to turn around in one full revolution every tooth of that other gear, and so it's going to have higher RPMs, whereas if you put them in the other direction, it's going to be just the opposite. So if you understand it mechanically, now you know how to build a transmission. Anyway, so If we can get to a basic understanding of energy and how nature uses energy, for example, science says that plants, when we breathe out CO2, which is two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom, we use oxygen so that we can survive. Plants need the carbon because they need the food. So they basically scrub off the carbon, they'll absorb up the carbon and release fresh oxygen out into the air so that we have even more fresh food. So we got a symbiotic relationship with nature, as in our plants, they feed us oxygen and we feed them food. In the same process, even when you're driving what they call fossil fuel cars, when the carbon monoxide comes out of the doggone exhaust pipe, plants do the same exact thing. And with that means that, you know, everything that everybody's been saying that is the problem in the world is actually the solution in the world. If you want plants to grow better, then take some advice from some of the people out there in agriculture who have, been for years pumping extra CO2 up inside their greenhouses overnight, because they know obviously can't do it while there's people in there, because CO2 is a larger molecule and it displaces oxygen by itself, and so that will cause you not to be able to breathe. That's why they tell you not to go around the base of a volcano, because CO2 pulls up in low-lying areas. Now carbon monoxide, which is double dangerous because it's also heavier than oxygen, so it will also displace oxygen, but it also will allow that smaller molecule to get down into your respiratory system and basically give you carbon poisoning. So you get poisoned by one or suffocated by the other. Basically, the first one will suffocate you and poison you, and the other one will just suffocate you. And that's what science says. That's not me making stuff up. That's science. That's what science has been saying for years. It's trying to use the high-tech terminology in order to make the so-called professors sound like they're smart, when in reality, if they were so doggone smart, why is it some people in this world can't even get a glass of water to drink? Because it's either polluted or it's too salty. They can't drink it. Too much sodium in your diet's not good for you. Make your throat dry out and swell up, and you die. That's why people out in the doggone boats get stranded out to sea, end up dying of thirst. They die of thirst before they die of starvation, dehydration. When if everybody who understood basic science knew that you could actually, if the moment you got into a jam to where you knew you didn't have no water and you only had so much time, well, you could start heating and condensing water using the sunlight, you know. You know, you got to shave your body so that your body don't get too hot and dry out. And so it's just mind-blowing to me that people in this world, you know, usually die from something that is so incredibly abundant. You die of thirst on a planet that is mostly covered with water. Let me think about that for a second. That's ridiculous. And there's fear mongers out there that run around for a long time, and they would tell everybody, well, the Earth's fresh water is running out. We're all doomed. We're going to run out of fresh water. They're pumping it over here, and they're stealing it, and all this kind of stuff. We're going to run out of fresh water. And I'm scratching my head, and I'm like, what? Have you lost a doggone mind? How in tarnation are we going to run out of fresh water when the Earth is three-quarters covered in water? And they're like, you know, what is it? What's one of the comments in the chat room when I posted a comment about they ain't possible to run out of fresh water? And they're like, that's drinkable water, stupid. And I'm like, drinkable water? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of Dubai? That's what I ask them. Because over there, they not only built the land that their skyscrapers are standing on by pumping sand and sediment out of the ocean, but they also took that same ocean and made huge desalination plants, and they make more than enough water over there to get by. And if they have the ingenuity to do that, I wouldn't build my house on sand, but they had processes by which they could actually take this sand and compact it into almost quite literally concrete. Basically the same kind of process that nature would have done it anyway. I would have preferred my house to be on rock or some dirt that's sitting on top of some rocks. But nonetheless, it worked out. I mean, they still got these skyscrapers on man-made islands. And there are other people out there who basically have found ways to survive in places that, you know, there ain't hardly any land. Entire towns floating on water. Places that are in flood zones where their ingenuity was able to basically make their house float up these poles. It's on your house is on a raft, your garage is on a raft, so your car, your house, and your boat all float up when it floods outside, and when you need to get to shore, you jump in the boat and go to shore. Can't drive your car because it's like, unless you want to tow your garage to the shore, which, you know, it's possible, put a boat motor on your doggone garage, just drive your garage to the shore. Where there's a will, there's definitely a way. That's the whole thing. And when it comes to the health industry's been using electromagnetism, you know, like magnetic resonant imagery and stuff like that in order to be able to see inside the human body. And instead of trying to see you know, how far you could actually take this kind of technology. You know, you see these science fiction shows where basically they don't even have to open you up to heal you. They'll either put a frequency over there that basically seals up your cut or, you know, heals your bone. That's why I like some of the old Star Trek movies, because they didn't have to like use a scalpel and string to stitch you up or anything like that. They just bring this machine over there and, you know, assess the problem, and even using nanotechnology, which a lot of people are afraid of too, because, you know, who wants a doggone micro machine running around your body? So, you know, there's pluses and minuses and everything that has to do with science and all that kind of stuff. But the efficiency probably should be the key. If we're ever, as you know, we the people are ever going to be able to be energy independent on like an off-grid basis, or even just be so doggone efficient that we barely even have to pay the man all this doggone money for everything under the sun, including the sun. They want to charge you for the sun. They want to charge you for the air you breathe. Something that nature has provided to you for free. They want to charge you for it. That's ridiculous. Why should I have to pay for a glass of water when the earth is 3/4 covered in water? Now, if I'm too lazy to distill my own water, or clean it up, or filter it, or whatever, if I would rather pay somebody else to clean it for me and keep it clean for me, well, then that's a service that I'm willingly paying for because, you know, I don't want to have to try to clean my own water. Or I want to get educated enough to understand how to clean my own water, how to make natural water filtration systems, how to mimic what nature has already done. If you take the cruddiest water and pour it on the top of a hill, by the time that water gets filtered down for all the minerals and stuff down at the bottom of the hill, it's already filtered. It's in the Boy Scout manual where they say certain miles per hour stream running across the rocks will give you clean water to drink. Because all the heavy particles fall to the bottom and everything else gets scrubbed off by whatever else that nature has put out there, some of which would be plants that are like hanging in the side of the stream that are actually filtering up and absorbing toxins and stuff. And so, for who knows how many thousands of years, people have been able to find fresh water to drink. Those unfortunate enough to stumble into deserts that didn't understand basic science, didn't understand that they could actually trap water from right out of the air. If you live in a humid climate, you can use a dehumidifier to basically make fresh water. And if you designed your dehumidifiers to not have materials that were going to be prone to rust or being getting dirty or anything like that, imagine if you had one that was stainless, which most industries use stainless because of its resistance to corrosion and rust. So now your dehumidifier, which is only taking temperature differences and causing those temperature differences to condense the moisture that's in the air, the hydrogen and oxygen, and combine it and produce H2O. So you can pull water right out of the air. So even in these places where the people are having hard times getting fresh water, we have the technology to purify their water, pull water out of the air, and basically give everybody a drink. But nonetheless, here we are in the year 2018 and people are dying of thirst somewhere. People can't even get a fresh glass of water. Now go to your local convenience store, they'll sell you a bottle of water for a dollar or so. Go to the ball game, it's going to cost you even more than that. So anyway, there's all kinds of possibilities. Health-wise, energy-wise, if we're willing to figure out how to get people to the table, that's the hard part. Bringing people to the table is the hardest part. Keeping them at the table is the second hardest part. Because egos, I know more than you, and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, and they don't like your terminology, they don't like the way you explain things, and so they get frustrated and act like a child and run off. Don't want to be your friend anymore because they disagree with what you have to say. I've witnessed that personally a lot of times because people just, they want you to submit to their amount of knowledge that they are, you're inferior to them. When in all reality, we're all still learning. On a daily basis, we're all still learning. And even science is still learning. Science has settled. The debate is not over. Never has been over. And it ain't over until we know the specifics of everything and the inner workings of how every single thing works. And can prove it. So everything in this world is doggone theoretical, no matter what you believe in or don't believe in. It's all theoretical. We got observations, we got the scientific observation, and we're doing pretty good using the scientific observation. And as long as we adhere to those rules of the scientific observation, where it's repeatable and testable and falsifiable and all that kind of stuff, that you know that certain things work. We've been told for years in basic science that light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. And so there is something that we can use. You know, put your hand on even a fluorescent bulb and they get hot. And even light-emitting diodes, after a while, they all even warm up. Because it's resisting current flow. And even though LEDs don't require current, all they need is the electrons to come in contact with the materials that the LEDs made of to release photons of light, and there you go, you got visible light. And you can actually change the color by the type of material that you use. So we got all this knowledge and all this technology, and yet we can't get our act together. It's mind-blowing. So it's been over a month since I made my last video. And I keep bouncing back and forth to why I should even keep doing what it is that I'm doing. Because it's frustrating. I don't have the resources to build everything that it is that I need to build. So I take these ideas while they're in my mind and while I have the research available, and I throw them out there to anybody willing to listen and anybody willing to try it. And people are always like, well, you know, people are going to believe it if you build it. Well, maybe, just maybe, I'm not the best manufacturer in the world. Maybe I could build a crappy prototype and it'll show the proof of concept. But if you're into trying to get free energy or being able to tap into nature's energy, then take these ideas, write them down, and run with them. I mean, come on. If somebody said, I'm going to go down the well and get me a drink of water, but I got to figure out how to get that water out of the well. First off, that well is really deep. And somebody else said, well, you know, you could take this rope down there and climb down the well. And the guy said, well, that sounds like a lot of work to get a drink of water, and what if I fall in? Well, somebody else said, well, you could take that bucket over there and tie it to the rope and allow that lower that rope down in there and get you some water. That way you don't have to climb in. Well, that's a pretty good idea, but that seems like a lot of work, because now I'm going to have to pull that heavy bucket of water up at that well. And somebody else said, well, you know, if you take and put a handle on a pole and tie that rope to the pole, you can use that leverage to pull that up and down inside there. And eventually, it was easy to go down the well, get some water. That's what I'm talking about. And that's why this is all so ridiculously simple. It just drives me batty. Drives me nuts. You won't listen to the guy that said, use a rope. You won't listen to the guy that said, use a bucket. You won't listen to the guy that said, use the other deal, because science said, this ain't possible. You can't do that. They told the Wright brothers they couldn't fly, and they did. They told a lot of people a lot of things. Oh, that'll never work. And it did. And mainstream science makes a lot of amazing claims. And yet, they're trying to tell you that it's not possible. You, the average Joe, you can't go to space. You don't have the finances to build the equipment necessary. Or the have all the supplies able to get on there and go as well. And so you pay taxes to a company or organization that's supposed to do it for you and come back with results. So, NASA was born. Never a straight answer, no actual science association, and they supposedly did some really amazing things. So, if we were able to send a probe all the way to Pluto, take a picture of it, send that signal all the way back, and it was able to have a generator that would work for 9 years as it traveled to this place, so far away that you could look back at the sun and just like a little dot in the sky, but yet it had over 200 watts to complete its task, send the information back and give you a picture of what they said the planet Pluto was. And we can't even figure out how to get somebody a drink of water. Ha! Steven said, take your idea and run with them. Unless your idea is a knife or scissors, then walk. Running is not such a good idea. See, there's common sense right there. Common sense. That's all we need. Don't run with scissors or a pencil or some sharp object in your doggone hand, because you'll have to get your eye poked out. You know? I don't know what to do anymore, people. I'd like to have me a laboratory where I had access to every single material and machine necessary to just get in there and build. I wouldn't even need to talk to nobody unless they come in to see what it was I was up to. I would basically just go in there and I'd be like the mad inventor, just building stuff. Just making stuff. Letting all these ideas just run freely. You know, there's a group of people that did something similar to that. There are people that gathered together and pulled the resources, and they made shops where they can go in there and they can build things together and work on ideas. And you know, when they finally got going fairly decent, they basically got into the whole business side of it, to where they figured they were going to try to make money, and you know, that was going to be their funding and stuff like that. And eventually the mainstream basically took over. Advertisements and sponsorship and all that kind of stuff. When you allow a company to step in there and sponsor you, well, then you end up having to fight with their rules. And if you end up having to fight with their rules, more than likely they're going to win, because they're the ones paying the paycheck. And so, if you want to not have control of your free thinking, then sponsorship and corporations and companies are a good idea. But if you want to keep control of what it is that you're designing and thinking up and all that kind of stuff, then you get together with your brothers and sisters around the globe, and you go on a joint venture together to actually get things accomplished. And then when you show your neighbors in your community what you was able to accomplish, how you were able to basically purify water so that everybody had a drink of water, nobody could die of thirst, and everybody could stay cool. We knew about evaporative cooling. We knew how, you know, gases and stuff react, and so we were able to build air conditioning units and all this kind of stuff, all the luxury of lives. And somebody out there trying to tell you, well, you know, it takes too much energy to do it. You know, you're going to need us to do it. So somebody built a hydroelectric dam and used nature's water to pressurize and turn turbines, which produce electricity that they then in turn sold to you. Somebody else developed solar panels and made huge fields with solars and basically sold sunlight to you. They did the same thing with wind. They did the same thing with thermal. So there are companies out there willing to do it for you if you're not willing to do it yourself. And so for me to try to figure out the simplest portion of all this, to make it so ridiculously simple that the average Joe himself can understand, that once you understand how energy travels, you don't need a massive solar array. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in order to get the energy necessary to run your crappy appliances that you overpaid for. Once you understand how this energy is traveling, the magnetic field and the electric field, how these two interact, what do they have in common, what's the whole deal going on here? The electric field is essentially, you know, positive pushing against positive and negatives attracting the positives or vice versa, whatever. That the opposites attract and the positives repel, and so in the process of that, once everything is all situated and balanced out, the process stops. And if in order to keep the process going, you keep putting a positive charge to something, which you cause a reaction, which is basically like putting your thumb over the garden hose and spraying that water out in a fast stream. And, you know, the tighter or smaller that hole is, the more pressure backs up and the farther that water will squirt out. And when you take your thumb off, the water will actually slow down, but you'll have a larger volume of water. Now, the same thing applies with electricity. And you don't need a giant magnetic field in order to do it. You don't need a lot of it. Look. It's as simple as if you took your hand and you're standing next to a swimming pool and you put your hand on the top of the water, just put it really on the top where your hand's just now touching that water. You'll notice the moment you touch that water, you'll get a reaction. Alright? Now, if you put any kind of pressure on that, obviously your hand's going to go underwater, but it's the reaction that it happens at the same time while you're pushing that pressure down. You'll see waves being formed. And the more frequently you do that, the larger the waves will become. And the harder you do that, and the faster you do that, the more waves will go. But even the simplest interaction with that water, put your finger in there, you'll see a reaction. That is the same thing with the magnetic field and the electric field. Are basically, one is a force that produces another force that in turn will produce the same type of force that it was produced from to begin with. So, the thing is, how do you get years and years of indoctrination out of the masses of the minds? You can't. And so the only way you're going to even get anything accomplished is to find the like minds in your community. People who are tired of paying the man. People who are tired of being enslaved by the financial institutions of the world. People who are tired of being under the thumb of power industries. So that's you, the average Joe. And obviously you by yourself don't have the resources necessary to get yourself out from underneath the burden of all this without some sort of lucky stroke genius or whatever, where you end up getting really wealthy and you can afford to hire people to do it for you. So if you find somebody of like mind and you match your resources with their resources, their weaknesses become your strengths, vice versa, their strengths or your strengths become whatever. You complement one another. And together, your tools and their tools, you now got yourself closer to your ultimate goal. That's the only way anything's going to get done. I've tried to bring the dream team together, but I'm apparently not a good negotiator when it comes to trying to keep people together or motivator. Everybody needs to come together and bring what they can to the table to, you know, basically make things happen. And if they bring their biases to the table, or if they bring their indoctrination to the table, or if they bring their egos to the table, then people get frustrated with each other and they can't seem to cooperate and can't get nothing done. And so I put all these ideas out there, and hope that people will take these ideas and run with them. You're not stealing them, I'm giving them to you. I'm sharing it with you freely. And even when I put ideas out that aren't even my original ideas, I'm showing you that this person over here came up with this idea. Go check out their YouTube channel. So I'm helping to promote the forward movement of knowledge into the masses out there in hopes that everybody will come together and start building stuff. If you actually look at what I was talking about earlier about the alternator and how the alternator designed, the alternator is a transformer. It's a basically a magnetic ballast. If you put power to it and you release it, you get a back EMF spike. The faster you do that, you'll get a higher. So you don't even have to rotate this thing. You can put a DC or pulse DC or AC current to this, and you'll get a strong magnetic field being generated because of the way that it's actually designed. Now, if you have a way to actually take the alternator apart, if you got a way to press out the center of that, you could put a secondary coil right around the primary inside the rotor. Forget the stator, you don't need it anymore, because you're not going to be using that type of stator anymore, because that is designed to pick up the changing magnetic field with a rotation. Now we're going to take that alternator rotor, and we're going to turn it into quite literally a transformer. But two things are going to happen if we do this. First off, because of the way that the rotor was designed and the way that this metal actually completely surrounds the magnetic field, we're able to keep more of that flux inside that metal and make it a more efficient style rotor. So, I'm going to add Barry to the call. So what's all this hubbub about being a non-science guy?
Well, I'm not a scientist, Shazuz. I've said that many times. But common sense is something I think I have a little bit in my brain.
Well, you think you're not a scientist, but let me see if you're a scientist or not. Do you learn from observation?
Yes.
Okay, when you're out there in nature and you're looking for certain types of mushrooms that you collect, do you have any knowledge of things that you shouldn't pick as to what you should pick?
Yes.
And that came from study and observation.
Yes.
Okay, and so you know that there are certain climates where there are good places to grow mushrooms, and there are certain climates where there are poor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Also came mm-hmm. from observation. So the scientific method is basically to observe, basically learn from it, and that's how you are able to understand the workings of what nature's already provided. So, yeah, Barry, you are a scientist, but you're a different type of scientist than I would be, because I'm into, like, electrical stuff and mechanical, and you're into natural, like, herbs and mushrooms and healing and medicine and stuff like that. So, you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's all part of the same picture. So this
yeah.
really is. It's we're all doing our own bit to make the human race free.
Yeah, you don't have to be a member of the lab coat society to call yourself a scientist. All right, you don't even have to be a part of any kind of Scientology or any religion or anything like that. You know, the scientific observation is the only reason why I'd even say that I was even remotely like a scientist. But I'm a mad scientist because I know what science says, and I'm seeing quite the opposite being showed to the public out there, telling you that, you know, this is what science says about water. It's hydrogen and oxygen. The two separated, one's implosive, one's explosive, yet that's not a fuel.
Well, you know, if mainstream science doesn't fit the political correctness of what they want us to believe, then it is not science. It's false. I mean, I look at science now. Science is a joke. A lot of it's a joke, man.
Well, that's why mad science is the way to go.
Because it's pseudoscience.
And to prove my point, you go over there on the Shaziz Radio chat room, and right above Stephen's resource link, there is a button that says "Attend the University of Mad Science." All right, you want to become a mad scientist and have credentials to prove it? Basically, go over there. It's really simple. All right, and answer the astronomical amount of one question. That's it. Okay, if you can get this one question right, and it doesn't even matter if you fail the first time. If you get the question wrong the first time, you can go back and take it as many times as necessary for you to get it. You could take it 1,000 times, answer the same question 1,000 times. And if you get it wrong, then you can go back 1,001 times and you might just get it right. Alright, one question. Mad Science University, final test. Question. Do you believe everything you hear and repeat it and never think outside the box for yourself? Yes or no?
I don't believe anything I hear unless I investigate it myself.
So I'm clicking on no for you, Barry, because
that's a no.
Alright. Well, congratulations, Barry. You just graduated to the School of Mad Science. There's a diploma there. All you gotta do is print it out, put your name on it, hang it on the wall, and display it proudly, because this shows everybody in the world that you are a mad scientist who refuses to believe everything just because somebody said it. There
well,
you go.
I'll put it up on my wall. But anybody, we're all mad anyways, because we believe that there's all kinds of answers to everything going on in the world today, and nobody seems to be listening. But in the same mouthful, I think people are starting to listen. And you know, I sense your frustration in here, Shaziz, because we have all the answers. We really do. I honestly sit here and listening to guys like you talk, and I'm involved with guys like Larry Woods. I'm involved with Carmen Mueller in Pran Technologies. Now I'm following really closely with the development of that wheel and how it's really garnishing attention. It's all in front of our face, but the human race is still burning fossil fuels and using nuclear power.
Yeah.
It's insanity. It really is. It's absolute insanity. We are committing suicide right now.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind that the human race cannot wake up to what is going on to our planet. The most important thing in our life is being able to sustain life on this planet, be able to give our children what we had, and we ain't going to be able to do that, guys. Sometimes people say, hey, Barry, you sound a little bit like a fearmonger. You know what? I am not a fearmonger, folks. I am very realistic in how I see what's going on, and I study it, and I vet it, and I make sure that the information I read is correct. And I say to people, you know what, if 50% of what I'm seeing right now is correct, and I vet my information pretty closely, I make sure it's coming from reliable sources, and of course if it's government sources, I tend not to believe it with about 50% of my mind, because it's all being propagandized to us. But anyways, that being said, I'm saying the most important thing that we need right now is to focus on the planet. And here we have all these different avenues of free energy that we could totally turn things around. And if we were to combine that with some other technologies we have now, we could literally turn the planet around.
Yeah.
But if we don't grab it, you know what, Shaziz, honestly, if we don't grab this and people don't wake up in the near future, and I don't think, honestly, buddy, I don't think we have a generation to correct what is going on, major correction in what's going on. A generation is not a long time, but I don't think we have a generation to correct everything that's going wrong. And if we don't get on it now, I don't see life on this planet in the future. I don't. I'm not being a fearmonger. I'm being realistic about it.
And it's understandable because,
I'm not alone in that. There's thousands of scientists now that are saying the same thing.
Well,
if you pay
attention to the path you're on, then you have to realize that the path you're on, it's got consequences. And that's why I've been saying all this time, I understand that there's a lot of stuff out there, but I also understand that if people actually get their act together, we could resolve all these problems in short order with cooperation. But it's hard to get people to cooperate these days. That's the hardest part. I also posted into the Skype, there's a link to your diploma. All you got to do is print that out. And for everybody else out there listening, you already know the answer, so I might as well give you one too. So I posted in all four of the chat rooms down there a link to that diploma for mad scientists. So if you answered that question the same as Barry did on there, print your diploma out, share it on your wall, show it proudly, because that means that you're not a sucker. You don't fall for everything just because somebody said it. Am I wrong?
No, you're spot on. Just like I said, I feel the same way some days. You know, all this stuff is going on in our world, and yet a majority or a good percentage of mainstream population is still inside the matrix. They're still going about their lives like nothing is wrong. And, know what? I think things are going to change radically on this planet in the next little while. And it's really going to start to grab people. It's changing now. I mean, what we see going on with our weather especially, it's just unbelievable. The abnormalities, the amount of floods we're seeing right now on the planet. If people aren't paying attention to this and the numbers that we're actually seeing, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And what we're seeing developing right now for California, the long-term forecast for the Pineapple Express to continually come onto the West Coast. I was looking at four or five different links on that yesterday, Shaziz, and the West Coast of the United States right now, California, Oregon, are looking at major, major amounts of precipitation. Well, we all know that Oroville had a big problem, and they have not completed all the repairs they wanted to do to that spillway. They've done a temporary fix on the lower part of it. I was just looking at a report on that. And if they have similar problems like they did last year with Oroville, we're going to see a major problem develop there. The same could be said for all the dams in California right now. So we're looking at some really interesting events coming up. And I look at that, and I look at what's going on in the East Coast. I look at what's going on in the storms in Peru, man. I look at what's going on in Chile, in Venezuela, in Pakistan, everywhere. They're seeing major flooding. So we're in for some pretty interesting times, my friend.
Well, you know, and one of the
I didn't want to get off subject there, but it's something I've been looking at. So I'm not trying to get off subject.
I'm agreeing with you, especially on the whole entire weather deal, because when we sit around and talk about all this alternative energy, we're not the only ones out there who has ever studied energy. The doggone government, they sure know what the heck they're talking about, because they use techniques that we talked about to quite literally manipulate weather patterns. And so, you know, it's
weather war.
Yeah, when we talk about it, it's a conspiracy. But, you know, they really do it. And nowadays, they admit to it. Alright? It ain't a joke anymore. They really say that they're doing it. You know, Operation Solar Shield. They're manipulating the weather. They did it back in Vietnam, and they did it in, they used to do crop dusting and stuff that, I got myself going on there. Alright, there we go. I'm done.
Holy smokes, somebody was trying to get in on the show there. It sounded like you, Shaziz.
Yeah, I went to copy.
Maybe it was your brother.
Yeah, I went to copy some links so that I could paste them over for people for that deal, and I had to refresh my super chat, and it came on automatically, so. Yeah, I heard myself talking. Anyway, it's frustrating.
Good news is, I've got my first customer that is going to actually build a hemp house in Kitimat, British Columbia.
Well, that's cool. Awesome.
And you know what? This guy works at Alcan, and he's talking to everybody at Alcan. I've got three builders in Prince Rupert right now that are going to be sending specs or spec requirements to the company. This thing is really starting to garner she attention. And I've also been working possible deal here with a gentleman in town for a small storefront to actually display these products to the public. It's something I told you a little while ago. I'm getting involved in big time because the power, actually, and I'm going to say that the power of this product is absolutely mind-boggling. And the reason I say that is this is not just the products we're going to be building and promoting in the public. It's the offshoot industries that are going to come along with it. And one of them, of course, is going to be the production of industrial hemp. Well, you know, I've talked many times on the show about the values of industrial hemp and what it does to soil when you plant industrial hemp on a field, how it detoxifies the soil, how it gets down into microbes and releases microbes out of the soil and that are never released with normal plant growth because of the root systems in the hemp plant. So you're going to be building houses that don't burn, that absorb carbon, that are going to last 300 to 500 years, that will never propagate black mold. Just that alone is just mind-boggling. We can do it now for the same price as normal building construction. But the offshoot industry is the one that really gets me inspired, because when you take a field that's had industrial hemp growing on it for 2 years and grow a conventional crop on that field, it will absolutely blow your mind the amount of phytochemicals and nutrients that are in that plant when you're finished production at the end of the summer. And that, of course, is because of the microbes that are released that normal plants don't get their teeth into. Unbelievable. Now, you're going to take that industrial hemp, and you're going to take the fiber, and you're going to use that to build houses, and then you're going to take the leaves, and you're going to feed all your animals with hemp. The animals' bodies are going to become saturated with CBDs and CBLs. You're going to be eating CBDs and CBLs, the most beneficial the most beneficial nutrients on the planet that you can put into your human body would be in your food every day. We were using hemp to feed our animals, feral, all the time. And, of course, that was being put into your body because if the animal's full of CBDs, it's going to be a healthy animal. It's not going to be full of pesticides. It's not going to be full of growth enhancers. It's not going to be full of color when you buy that product in the store. It's going to be a product that's saturated with CBDs and CBLs, the most beneficial thing to the human body. We're only touching the tip of the iceberg when we talk about the healing benefits of cannabis. It just absolutely blows my mind, the reports I read every day about every disorder in the human body seems to be affected by cannabis. Well, the reason that is because there is no plant in the world today in existence that is more genetically connected to the human body than the cannabis plant. And I urge people to research that and find out why it benefits our body so much. Why are cannabinoid receptors in our body when we're born? Why are cannabinoids in a mother's breast milk? Why? Because it is meant to be used. And if we all used it, Big Pharma would become a thing of the past. All the suffering we see in our society right now, this rise in disease, the destruction of our children. I shed tears every day when I see reports of children becoming autistic after the so-called safe vaccines and the food we're feeding our children full of GMOs, destroying their bodies. And why? We don't need to do that, folks. We could turn it all around. But it's absolutely imperative at this point that we all become educated about what is going on to our society, why our bodies are falling apart, why our society is falling apart. It's right in front of us, and if we don't change it, boy, our children are really going to pay the price here as this. But we have the answers, buddy, and when I get onto hemp, honestly, if there was one thing I ever said to people, this plant could literally heal this whole planet from the inside out, period. Yeah. And I honestly believe that with every bit of my heart, folks.
Well,
go ahead.
There was
my rant, my rant for the day, Shazam, but I have to talk about it. I have to talk about it. Every time I get a chance to talk to anybody about this now, it's nonstop.
Well, welcome to Mad Science. That's your frustration that you feel with that particular deal right there is my frustration when it comes to alternative energy. It's the same exact thing. When are we going to use common sense? As, look, folks, it's up to you. It ain't up to them. They're not going to do it for you. They sure as heck ain't going to tell you about it, any of these things like that. I did that video about the duckweed and the water mill. And knowing how energy is and how you know, methane and other things are produced and all that kind of stuff, that duckweed and that water mill, they got there for a reason. And their purpose is so incredibly simple, but the benefits are so incredibly profound. The duckweed in the water mill, they filter toxins out of the water. The plant itself is fish food. It's also biofuel, you know. There's so many different, you can use it for fertilizers and stuff. This is something that doggone golf courses will pay people thousands of dollars to keep out of their pond, because here's the problem. I live in a farming community, so I live next to a farmer. He puts a lot of fertilizers and cow manure and anhydrous ammonia and stuff like that to add the stuff to the soil in order to, and probably even some pesticides. Who knows what all they use over there? But anyway, all of that stuff, basically to make their plants grow better, so they have all this growing, you know, they get a good healthy crop every year. Well, every time it rains, all of that washes off down into the stream and comes into the pond, which makes my pond's chemistry go out of balance, and it causes the things to grow rapidly, because now I've got such incredibly nutrient-rich water because of all the fertilizers and other nitrogens and stuff like that, that this plant will grow like wildfire. And if there's no fish in there to eat it, or the fish can't keep up with it, or turtles in there to eat it, or ducks to eat it, any wildlife are there long enough to keep it at bay, this stuff will replicate itself every 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And so, what was a deal that was not natural because of the way the farmer treated his land, and that what ran off over here, now become what would have been a disaster if I wanted to have a pond, a beautiful pond, now become a benefit because he just sent all this fertilizer, nutrients, and basic fuel over into my pond. Now, I don't want all that because I don't need all that, but if I ever did need it, and I understand the basic science of it, I have access to it. So it's no longer trash. It now becomes treasure. And I know that I could actually harvest this stuff, and I can use it to feed other fish. I could use it for fertilizer to grow food, natural fertilizer. And the only thing nature was doing in the process was using it to clean up my pond that the farmer threw out of balance. So just like hemp, these are two products that, one, they have going illegal, and the other one is obnoxious if you want a beautiful pond. And both have benefits, and both came from nature.
We're only touching the tip of the iceberg when it comes to nature, you know, and the benefits of everything that we're surrounded by to the human body. I'm learning all the time about new things that are available in my area of the neck of the woods that are new, are beneficial to my body. I never realized that King Boletum mushrooms had such a high concentration of vitamin D. I've learned a lot of things, and of course I've talked about Chaga many, many times on your show.
Yeah.
Shaziz, and that to me is one of the biggest blessings that's ever come into my life, because what it's done to my body, I can't even begin to tell you. I just cannot tell people how much my body's changed since I put this one mushroom into my body about 4 years ago.
The crazy thing about it is, the average Joe would walk past that and say, oh, well, that kind of looks cool, but I wouldn't put it in my mouth. You know, but they don't understand nature And if they actually went back through time and looked at how what people survived off of, you know, like dandelions, who would want to eat a dandelion? But, you know, they make tea out of dandelions. There's all kinds of stuff.
I harvest dandelions every year.
Yeah.
But second flush of dandelions is what you want, and you want the roots off the second flush. And you can make an incredible tea with that. You know, that same Joe that's going to walk by that piece of chaga will go down to the corner store and buy himself a bag of cheesies and eat them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I use cheesies for? When I go into the bush every year, I buy 3 or 4 big bags of cheesies because they make, believe it or not, the best fire starter I've ever seen in my life.
Ah,
unbelievable.
How about
unbelievable.
That?
Unbelievable, Shaziz.
Yeah, they got a lot of oil in them.
Well, they got oil in them, of course. But I take a cheesy and light it on fire, and if you watch it burn, anybody eats a cheesy, man, please just take a lighter and light one of them on fire and watch it for about 3 or 4 minutes. It'll go black, and it'll start dripping like plastic, and it's got a really obnoxious smell to it, and this is something you want to put into your body? Oh, my God. It blows me away at people's ignorance about what they're actually consuming.
Yeah.
You know, like... What is that? Instant milk carnations coffee creamer. What's
it
called?
Sprinkle that over the fire and it's flammable.
Well, it's got aluminum distillate in it. It's right on the ingredients. Aluminum distillate. And you want to put that into your body? It's the third biggest cancer-causing product on the market today. Period.
Steven,
and it's still up there.
Steven in the chat room said you can just eat the hemp seed yourself. No need to eat the beetles? Beastles?
Right.
Beasties? Hemp seed contain more protein and nutritional vitamins and minerals than, what is beasties?
Beasties?
Yeah. Do anyway.
I have hemp hearts every day. They're in my diet every day. I make a milkshake every morning. I throw in my hemp hearts, my blueberries, my fiber, some natural sugar, and that's how I start my day every morning. And then I have my coffee, and I throw in about 2 ounces of chaga. Just rocking and rolling, buddy.
That's what all these networks need to start having, like, you know, alternative medicine shows as well to share these deals. You know, because... we can't necessarily come out and say, well, this will cure you because the doggone Food and Drug Administration, you know how they want to, like, jackboot your house door in and beat you up and take you off to the slammer for trying to tell somebody the truth. But nonetheless, same thing with alternative energy. Free energy, you know, you talk about free energy and you're going to get resistance. You talk about free medicine and you're going to get resistance because the corporations out there and the governments rely on one another to give each other money. That's the way it all plays out.
Well, of course.
The beasties. He's talking about animals. Instead of eating animals, the protein's right there in the seed. So,
yep.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about with animals, though, is important because, you know, there's nothing wrong with consuming a cow or a piece of meat that's ate cannabis all its life. You're going to be doing good for your body, not negative, not what we see now in the stores. So, I mean, that's just one aspect of it. When I get talking about that alone, our food source and what we're doing with our bodies through food, I mean, we look right now at what's going on in North America, and every cognitive disease known to man is on major rise in North America. We are now leading the world in most disorders in the human body. We're the sickest nations in the world. In 1970s, she says, we were the healthiest nations in the world. So really, people got to start paying attention to what is going on with their bodies. And it's only getting worse. I mean, everywhere I look, people are sick now.
Yeah.
Now we got the rise of these superbugs. Well, you know, we can't continue using antibiotics in our society. It has to become a thing of the past. Because, of course, with these superbugs now, we are actually creating mechanisms or organisms that we're not going to be able to treat. And it's only going to get worse. I believe in Toronto they had their first reported case of that superbug 2 days ago in a hospital. And, of course, major quarantine. But when we get to a point in society where we have diseases and viruses that we can't cure, well, these are all a making of our own doing. Through our complacency. Everything can be healed by the planet, man.
That's where my next comment was getting ready to come in there for what you said. You know, everything that we needed was provided for us. Every medicine, every resource necessary, and everything that was on the planet still is on the planet. Some of it's out of place and could actually be helped to put back into place. But nonetheless, had we to use this resource the way that it was meant to be used to begin with, we wouldn't be hearing about all these super bugs. It's these crazy people out there trying to mix this with that and tampering with nature that's caused the problems. If you put spider genes into a doggone goat to see if you can get milk that you can make really super strong fishing string out of because of the spider silk or whatever, that's
quiet.
Not natural.
Quiet, stay here.
That's not natural. And that's not the only mad science. That's not mad science, that's crazy science. Mad science is mad because whenever you're taught something in school, which is basic science, physics and all that kind of stuff, and then you see the counter being done out there and being proclaimed, this whole global warming / climate change, it's like the biggest thorn in my side because I know the science of the deal, and it's a big hockahooey. You know,
The government's telling us carbon tax is going to fix that right up, man.
They got
it figured out.
Me giving the government money is going to resolve an issue that that didn't exist to begin with. Look, nature's frustrated with us, and nature's going to react due to that frustration. And there are natural cycles that go about in there. And if you are not wise and you build your house on the sand made of sticks and the water comes in, one or two things going to happen. Either your house is going to float out to sea or it's going to sink in the sand or whatever. But the man who was wise enough to listen to the man that said build your house on the stone out of bricks, that's the guy who still has his house.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot of friends when the water starts to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, you know, and it's not rocket science. It's mad science. Mad science is the lack of common sense. And also, for those folks listening in that show up via Facebook, I also posted that link to you for the University of Mad Science and the diploma, so... if you've been listening to the show, you already got the answer, so all you got to do is go take it as many times necessary to, graduate. It's only one answer, you know, so. Anyway, print that out, put it on your wall, and share it proudly with everybody. Showing, look, man, I ain't no doofus. I listened, and I ain't believing everything I hear. I'm doing some research. I'm testing for myself, you know. And that's how you find out, you know, trial and error. You stub your toe once and it hurt the first time. There's a good possibility if you do it a second time, it's going to hurt again. So that's scientific observation. It can be tested and retested. You can slam your toe into the side of the coffee table over and over and over again. Eventually, you'll have to go to the doctor and get a cast put on your foot, but nonetheless... If you can withstand the pain of your ignorance long enough to test that out, you'll find out, yeah, it's the truth. It's a known fact that if you slam your toe on a coffee table, it hurts.
Well, I guess my question is how we get them involved. And that's a question I ask myself every day.
Well, we're doing the best we can right now. You know, back in the old days, there was a story about a guy named Paul Revere who went running and saying, the British are coming, the British are coming. Had everybody said, oh, skip it. You know, I ain't worried about it. I'm having another pint. All right, so they just sit back and drank, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We'd be British instead of Americans. All right, but, you know, it's the same thing with the boy who cried wolf, you know. Woof, woof, and then everybody come running up there, and he'd laugh at them, and then finally they're like, oh, he's just jacking around. Well, this time Wolf was really up there. So if they're not listening to people who have common sense and the solutions, then they're not gonna know until it hits them. All these natural disasters and even man-made disasters and government-supported disasters, we can resolve these issues if we choose to do so. But it takes... all the people deciding that they don't want to go down that road to disaster, Instead, we want to try to make the world a better place. We want to learn the truth about alternative medicines. We want to learn the truth about alternative energies. And we want to implement these solutions in our communities and share them with other communities so that they too can benefit. For anybody out there to say, well, you can't heal everybody because if you heal everybody, the world's overpopulated. I got news for you, folks. This world could withstand multitudes, times more people than we have right now, and never be overpopulated. If it ever got to the point where it was overpopulated, nature has this nifty trick on how to thin things out.
Mm-hmm.
If the fish require this much oxygen, and they're only getting that much oxygen, first they're going to become kind of loopy, and then they're going to become kind of stupid and swim around in circles, and eventually they're going to die because they don't have enough oxygen to their brain, and the population thinned out. The one or two or maybe ten that were smart enough to go swim towards the oxygen are the ones that are going to survive and procreate until the population gets up there and clouds it all up again. That's common sense. The same thing with people. They say there's 9 billion people on the planet. We could withstand multitudes times more than 9 billion and never run out. The creator of this earth knew what they were doing and put every single thing in place, every single cause and effect necessary to keep everything in balance. Nature will balance itself out. But the question is, do you have time to wait around for nature to clean up man's mess? That's the deal. And nature will clean it up. Nature will come back in full force. And once we're gone, this place will be beautiful again.
Yeah, it might take 10,000 years, but it'll come back.
Yeah, but we don't have 1,000 years to get our act together. Otherwise, our generation's going to be living in the midst of the city dump with all the flies buzzing around on their face.
Exactly. Exactly.
And since you and I love our family and our future generations, we don't want that to happen, and so we're speaking out right now, and hopefully these messages will resonate with the rest of the world, and they'll say, you know what, I want to go over there and work with old Barry and Shaziz, because I think they got something going on, and we'll get something going on. You know, or take these ideas and run with them. They're free for the taking. That's the best thing about ideas. Ideas and knowledge are free, if you're willing to listen. And then if you listen to it and you allow yourself to absorb it and understand it so that you know that this is right. You know, I tested hemp seed oil. When I heard all the benefits of it, I tested it and it worked for me. It still works for me. I still use it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so I'm an advocate of hemp seed oil because the benefits outweigh anything else. There ain't no negativity to hemp
seed
oil.
There is no negatives. None. Absolute zero, zero,
maybe,
zero, zero.
Maybe one. All right?
What's that?
Yeah,
you might get a little buzz?
No, not that, because hemp seed oil won't give you a buzz, but there's one possible negative, depending on your taste buds, when you first taste it, back. It's kind of greasy.
I actually love it.
Yeah, well, it's an acquired taste after you have a tablespoon of it a day for a couple of years. It's like, I love it now too, but, you know, and then when you take a drink of your coffee right after it, your coffee tastes funny.
You'll get the same benefits by just eating hemp parts every day, Shaziz, and hemp parts are available everywhere.
Cool.
Everybody should be eating hemp parts in their diet. You can get them at any store. The one thing that you do, though, you want to, when you buy hemp parts, you want to give the company that's producing them a phone call and ask them if they're radiating their hemp parts, because some companies do. And that's kind of silly, but that's something I looked into, and it's actually true. So you can actually make a phone call to the company. The ones I get come from Alberta, and they're not radiated.
Cool, I'll have to look into it myself.
The government does not want us to have anything beneficial to our body. This whole sham about legalizing cannabis and making it so it's not people can go out and have a little bit of cannabis. Well, this is the worst thing that's ever going to happen to this, because we know right now that Monsanto is genetically modifying it, that the government will never let the public have something beneficial to the human bodies. They're going to genetically modify this. They will take the CBDs and the CBLs out of the cannabis. They'll leave the THC in so that the public can get their little buzz, but the benefits of the plant will be taken away. And of course, in Canada here, we've got the Bronson family totally involved in the whole legalization scam. They're going to make billions and billions of dollars off this. Of course, they're lobbyists of the Liberal government. They're friends of the Trudeaus, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to it, guys. The worst thing that's ever happened to it, in my opinion. Nobody should have control over something that was put on this planet, been here for thousands and thousands of years, has been used by the human race for thousands and thousands of years, and now government is going to control, regulate it, and tax it. Come on, wake up, guys. That's the thing.
We got to get government out of our houses, period.
That's exactly. Get them right. They have no right to control this in any shape or form. Under the guise of THC having a buzz effect on people, well, there's so many reports that I have read, and one of them that just boggles my mind is the effects on cannabis on people when they're driving. The government's making statements that you're impaired. Well, regular cannabis user, there's been numerous studies done in universities about this, Shaziz, that a normal cannabis consumer that uses it on a regular basis is a better driver than a normal driver. And they prove that over and over and over again. Yet the government says, you have a little bit of cannabis in your body, you're impaired. We can now impound your vehicle and charge you with impaired. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Excuse my language. Excuse my language. I don't swear usually.
All right. Excuse anyway.
Sorry about that.
In the chat room, Stephen said you can use the oil for cooking and salad dressing. Chaziz, you don't need to just down the oil. You can also get it in capsule form, so or tasteless. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you also got to remember to get the cold press, the natural stuff, stuff that ain't been pasteurized or tampered with. That's the good stuff. So, anyway. Okay. Let's say we take a quick music break. I need to refresh my coffee. And so I'll take a quick 5 or 6 minute music break, and then we'll go come back. How's that sound?
I'll hang around till the top of the hour, and then I've got my Saturday chores to go do.
All right. Be right back, people. Stay tuned. Listen to Mad Science.
Can you remember
frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Yeah, give me the number for 911 as well. We're back, folks. Look, we've been talking about some things, and I started off this show talking about it's simple. Everything out there is simple. If you actually pay attention to science and nature and you understand what's going on out there, you don't have to get into all the high-tech terminology or crazy stuff or all that kind of deal. All you got to do is pay attention to what nature's been doing forever and a day. Native communities have been using alternative medicines for thousands of years, and alternative energy has always been out there on the table. It's those folks that out there that feel it necessary to monopolize the knowledge and monopolize the power for personal and financial gain is the reason why we find ourselves in the situation we are now. On top of that, there's also folks out there that got some really terrible agendas where they figure like they want to have a smaller population to where you aren't there because you might want to speak out against corruption or whatever. You know, it's not like this is some sort of tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy deal. You know, there's societies in the past that didn't like other people, so they figured out ways to try to get rid of them or demonize them or whatever. But all this stuff, every single problem out there comes with a solution. And that's what we're here to bring to the table, is the solutions to all the problems out there. We can go for all kinds of hours, if not days, talking about things that nature has provided that are stronger materials, better materials, healthy for your body, and the way that your body uses what nature has provided for nutrients and energy and so on down the line. The same thing with electricity, or even if you're going to use what they classify as fossil fuel. It ain't that the fossil fuel is bad, it's that you're not using it efficiently. If you used it efficiently, you wouldn't get all these waste products, because there wouldn't be no such thing as waste. Everything that that nature uses, nature recycles any byproduct. And that's the way it's always been. And when you take, for example, in the radioactive industry, such as nuclear power, and you take what was natural in nature and you cram it into one little tightly compact container, and now this thing is really hot. Well, that heat has got to go somewhere. And if it's going into the water where tropical fish live, then it's blatantly obvious that that's going to change the temperature in that water, which is going to cause the fish to not want to be there. They're not going to live. It gets too hot, they die. They go belly up. Then you have that moment of silence while you flush them down the commode. Well, that's essentially what we're doing with the world. We're flushing it down the commode. And it's a shame, because everything that we've got, including the waste products that we make, nature will recycle it. We could recycle it. We could take every bit of wasted energy from all these expended rods, put them in a safe place, because we don't obviously want to be standing around, radioactive material because of how it actually interacts with the water molecules and our cells and our body. However, since it's going to be there anyway, there are methods by which we can utilize it and not be in danger to do so and not have to create any more in the future in order to make a potential problem a new hazard down the line for somebody else. All the energy that we need, nature has provided for. And everything that we've been doing way back in, say, like in the 1800s, we were boiling water with coal. We were boiling water with wood. Then we started boiling the water with highly refined radioactive material. And because science understood how this stuff was functioning, then we were able to do these things. But then, when it wouldn't do it to the efficiency, then that meant we had to make more fuel. The actual radioactive material that's in every nuclear power plant only uses 2% of that rod's energy, and then it gets down to a point where it's not boiling water efficient enough to produce the steam, which in turn turns the turbines, which in turn gives you the electricity that you use. In the coal-fired power plants, the same thing. More wasted energy, and now they have actual coal-fired power plants where they have better, cleaner emissions, but still, to this day, aren't as efficient as they could be. Every single good idea out there can be improved upon until you finally get to 100% efficiency. 100% efficiency is what nature already figured out. Nature knows how to be efficient. Nature recycles everything, including you. So when you're gone, when you die, you get recycled into it. Your body goes right there. Wherever your soul goes from that point on, that's up to you. All right? But for a while, the time we're down here, if we learn to work in perfect harmony with nature, nature will heal our sicknesses. We will heal nature. We'll work perfectly hand in hand with one another. We'll live in a clean environment and enjoy each other. But instead, at the stage in the game where we're at right now, where people believe it's necessary to go out and fight over resources such as oil, or even fight with each other over whether or not to use coal or not, there's all types of clean energy out there, clean renewable energy. And even solar power can be improved upon. You know, just by understanding the physics of it, you can improve upon it. And to make it better so that, you know, even when the sun's down for several days, I know some folks that are off the grid that when the sun, they can go 3 or 4 days without no sunlight whatsoever. And so since there might be a whole week, they didn't just stop at the solar panels. They threw up a couple wind turbines. And so now they can go yet even longer. And since they need a little bit more time on their battery bank, they just added to their battery bank. And all these materials that you, even what you make batteries out of, you can get for free. Capacitors are essentially batteries. Really fast-acting ones if you use them properly, and really long-lasting ones if you use them properly. And if you understand how all this energy is traveling, the simplicity of it all is so ridiculously ludicrous as how simple it is. And you bring these brilliant minds and ideas to the table if you could just get people to take these ideas and run with them. That's the hard part. Now, Barry talks about a house that's made out of hempcrete. And he can sit there and tell you for hours on how many benefits that this doggone house has. He's actually got somebody that's going to be having one built. Which is wonderful, because now when they see how long this house lasts, well, you'll probably get the government's attention, Barry, because that way, hey, we can't have houses lasting that long. We need to sell lumber. We need to sell.
Well, yeah, I get a big kickback from people when I talk about that. We're going to put the lumber industry out of business. Wait a second, hold on. We're not going to put them out of business. We're just going to create another business to take over from lumber. Man, it's a no-brainer, and I kick back against that with people right away. We need a change in society and the way people see how we're treating the planet. And this is such a no-brainer that now I'm getting people's attention, that yeah, they're looking at it going, this is absolutely common sense, period.
Yeah.
Period.
It's amazing stuff, too. One of the things that you mentioned about one of the benefits of hempcrete was that it was fire retardant.
You can hold a blowtorch to it. You can hold a blowtorch to it for 2 hours, take the blowtorch away, and all you're going to have is a black spot.
See? Now that's a benefit in itself. Instead of making...
a benefit? How many lives, how many millions of lives would be saved? And firemen and loss of property and grief.
Yeah.
When your house won't burn. Duh. Let me think about that for a minute. No, that's a pretty good idea, Barry.
Yeah. And I'm almost willing to bet the R factor as far as, you know, resistance.
47, R47 factor.
So there's an insulation factor that's another plus.
Well, the biggest property about it that is absolutely mind-boggling, that hemp, even when it's dead, it's been harvested and is used for a product, that product will absorb carbon dioxide for the life of the house. So in other words, 300 years from now, when that house is still standing, it is going to be absorbing carbon out of your air and replacing it with oxygen in your house. 24/7, 365 days of the year. You like that idea?
Yeah, I like it. I like a healthy house.
Isn't that a pretty good idea? No more BHPs or chemicals that we're breathing in our house. No more black molds. One of the biggest factors in health right now in our society. Of course, it's the silent killer. People don't realize what black mold is doing to them, but it's directly responsible for many, many respiratory disorders. Now, they tell me that, I just read this stat, that the fourth biggest killer of people now in North America, and this is up from number 8 4 years ago, at now number 4 is respiratory disease. Imagine that.
Well, yeah.
Up to number 4, she says.
These shenanigans were talking about Operation Solar Shield, spraying chemicals in the air and not knowing the long-term health effects of, this, and not to mention just the environmental damage done, is ridiculous. I mean, they shouldn't even be doing it. We're seeing crazy weather right now, but it's like this. You know, they said for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So if you make it hot over there, then it's going to be colder over here. And vice versa. You know, and since heat interacts with cold, you know, heat rises, cold air falls. If you get those things going around, when you tamper around with nature, then you're causing problems. Every time a volcano goes off and spews all that crud in there, we go through a cooling period. I can't remember what the name of the volcano was, but it said last time we lost like 1 degree over a certain period of time. 1 degrees don't sound like a lot, but it only takes 13 degree temperature difference to cause catastrophic weather everywhere because of the way that heat rises and falls. It changes the temperature. You change the temperature in the water stream, jet stream will move, or the Gulf Stream. You change the temperature in the atmosphere, then the jet stream will move. And by tampering with radio waves and stuff like that, pulsing them out, energizing the air to see what's going to happen, you get an effect. You know, it's like nature. You stretch this rubber band out, nature's going to put that rubber band right back to its natural state. And if your eye's in the way, well, that's your fault because you didn't pay attention.
It's almost like these attacks are so overwhelming on us, Shaziz, it's almost impossible, we sometimes think, to put it to an end. But it's not. I know people in this town know that are really, that, you know, they know that we're being sprayed, that they've looked into chemtrails a little bit, and they realize that this is being done for a reason apparently to deflect sun from hitting the Earth's surface, and that's what the propaganda is that's all about. And, you know, they know we're being sprayed, yet they're still going about their lives like it's normal. And it's not. These are nano-sized particles that are being sprayed into our atmosphere.
Yeah.
They're a metal-based particle. So where are they going to end up? They're going to come down. They're ending up in our lungs. They're ending up in our food. They're ending up in our soil. Of course, that comes into our food, man. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we're spraying the planet with glyphosate. I mean, Roundup has been used so extensively all over this planet, and now we're seeing glyphosate show up in just about every product on the market. Is showing signs of glyphosate, incredibly toxic poison, and why it's still being used, it baffles my mind. It's been banned in many countries, yet the FDA and their wisdom allows Roundup still to be used in the United States of America. Crazy, man. It's destroying our biosphere.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And then when you Then when you try to talk,
what's wrong with people, Suzette? I mean, what the? It goes to show you how powerful mind control is in our society.
Society's
so dumbed down that they can't see this.
That's it. It's the environmentalists that I hold accountable for all this. The ones out there protesting because instead of listening to science, they listen to what the doggone mainstream scientists and the government are saying without doing the due diligence. Such anybody can just repeat something they heard. Now, it takes a little bit more effort to go out there and say, hold on a second, this may not be the case, and this could potentially be something that we could actually resolve ourselves just by understanding, you know, how nature's functioning. But they don't. They don't. If you talk to people about carbon emissions, they will laugh at you. They'll call you names. They'll get flat out, you know, hateful because they want you to believe in the global warming or climate change agenda because they're saying they want to save the planet. And that's what they've been taught, that you got to save the planet. All right? Well, it don't make no sense to stand out on the corner with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees. Just as it doesn't make no sense to listen to both sides of the deal when somebody like Al Gore comes out there, who we know is going to benefit financially from this scam, says that the debate is over, and the majority of the scientists say, well, that's the majority of the scientists, of your own scientists that you asked to give you the specific answer that you wanted them to give you so you could make all this money on carbon tax. Which is pure ridiculousness, because the truth is completely opposite to what's going on. These people want to manipulate your mind, and the environmentalists out there, instead of coming to the table to hear the solutions and then implementing those solutions, at least testing the theories and all that to see if this is a plausible way that we can reduce so-called carbon emissions. But they're not having it. They don't want to listen to the facts. I guess they want to be part of a group, you know. They want to be part of a group think. They want to be part of something, and so they're willing to sit there and spew off all the talking points, whether it be the liberal agenda, the right-wing agenda, whatever. Don't matter. But common sense has got to start ruling the day. If we're heading down the road to disaster and somebody's standing there holding out the doggone information necessary to resolve the issue, and all you can do is tell them how stupid they are, Tesla could have gave the world free energy. The greed of one man and one company made it so that that wasn't going to happen. If you can't put a meter on it, I can't make no money. I can't allow you to say this to people. Stan Myers, you've got people come out and say just terrible things about the man. But the technology's proven. Science said that water was hydrogen and oxygen. And we know what happens to water. We know the physics of water. We know that you can't compress a liquid, so you can actually have hydraulics. You can get that water to lift a lot of weight. And by understanding how the difference between a displacement pump and a positive displacement pump, you know that you can force that water through there and cause that water to pressurize itself and push up thousands of pounds that you couldn't otherwise pick up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this stuff right here, everything that I've been saying, is all proven science. And if I don't know what I'm talking about, then none of it works. I got a Bobcat out there that uses hydraulic fluid not only for lubrication of the gears, but it uses the hydraulic fluid to be pressurized to push cylinders up and down so I can lift heavy objects. That's science and physics. And if you can't get the people out there who are the ones that's screaming the most about environmental disasters to the table, and you can't get the doggone representatives out there to come to the table because the other ones are making too much noise. Oh, save the trees with your wooden stick and paper sign while the other guy's over saying, well, you know, well, instead of doing that, why don't you go over there and plant another tree? Alright, that's common sense. Bring them to the table, show them the solutions, and then we get it all resolved. Otherwise, we just keep on playing the banjo back and forth, and it just, then you wonder why I call it mad science. This is why.
It's not gonna get resolved, Shaziz, if we rely on the government. This has got to be grassroots movements that will make this happen. And when people really start, you know, unfortunately, I think that until people really start to see an impact in their lives, in their daily lives, which are not yet, but it's going to come, when they start to see a major impact in their daily lives, in their food supply, et cetera, then a lot more people will be getting involved. But you know what? By then it might be a little bit too late. So I think now is the time to get involved because we see these things coming. I've studied the drop-off in food production here extensively in the last couple months. I've gone to government sites, I've read every piece of information that I can get my hands on about this, listened to many, many experts talk about it, Shaziz, and we are going to see major crop productions worldwide starting this year.
Yeah.
Projections are mind-boggling, folks. I'm not fear-mongering you. I'm telling you what I've seen, and I've vetted the information, and it all seems to be consistent in the volumes, percentages that they're talking about. We need to pay attention to that. We need to prepare ourselves for the future, because these are going to happen. 2018 and 2019, the numbers are mind-boggling, folks, and I urge you to go look at it yourself, because I'm not going to put the numbers out there, but they are mind-boggling. Yeah. So what are we seeing, Shaziz? We're seeing a breakdown in our food supply. We're seeing a depletion of oxygen around this planet at unprecedented rates due to the die-off plankton and deforestation of this planet. That's got to be turned around. That can be turned around with industrial hemp. I'm not going to get back into that, but there's answers, guys. And again, I'm going to get back on that. That's what I'm going to end this conversation with today, Shaziz. If you really want to look at something that will have a tremendous impact on this planet, and more than anything else that I could particularly talk about at this point in my life, is look into what we can do with hemp, okay?
Yep.
That's what I'm going to end the show with, because it ends the show for me on a positive note, because I know if people grasp it, we still, I believe, have a window of opportunity, but that window is getting very small, Shaziz, and I honestly believe that. So, thanks for having me in today, buddy.
Oh,
always great talking with you.
You're welcome, man. And don't forget, you are too a scientist, whether you like it or not. If you're paying attention, maybe you're a mad scientist because you're mad.
How can we not pay attention, Shaziz?
Yeah.
How can we not pay attention?
Necessity.
Hey, I say to people, I say one more thing. It's your responsibility right now. Not something you should do. It's something you have to do. It's your responsibility, period.
Yep.
Go ahead. Thanks, Jesus.
Necessity, they say, is the mother of invention. And so with that said, there is a need to resolve the issues that we have around the world. Hemp is one of them. Duckweed, watermill, I could point them out to you all day long because we've been doing this on the Mad Science Show for many, many, many years. There's tons of podcasts out there. If you scroll up there from the Super Chat, there's a drop-down menu right underneath the Mad Science where it'll take you to all the podcasts, including today's when today's done. And over to the right of that, you scroll down and you'll find the Night's podcast, which there's just as many on there as well. And listen in to what we've been talking about all these years, and if this common sense resonates with you and you have your own radio network and you want to rebroadcast any of them, they're yours for the taking. All this information is yours for the taking. Folks, just like Barry said, it's got to be a grassroots thing. If you ain't sharing this information on your social media networks, then it just goes as far as the ears that hear it, you know. If you take the information, you vet the information, you believe in the information, and you share it with everybody and his brother, and the average Joe finally comes to realization that the only ones who can resolve all these issues out here is we the people. We outnumber the elite thousands, if not millions, to one. And if we decided to ever utilize the resources available to us and the knowledge and share these resources and share these knowledges with one another and actually do things, number one, we're going to be a lot healthier. Number two, we're going to be a lot happier. And number three, we're going to get same things done that's actually going to make this world a better place. That's what the Mad Science Show is all about. It's not just sitting on here complaining because of all the stupidity that you got to contend with every time you say anything like free energy. If you go out there and you Google it up on YouTube or whatever, and you type in free energy, you'll find all kinds of scam artists out there trying to pull fast ones on people. And it's hard to weed through alternative energy and come back away with an impression that alternative energy is real. But it is real. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. We got more energy than we could ever use in a trillion, trillion, trillion lifetimes. And we're not going to run out of anything on this planet, with exception of maybe clean and edible food. The whole thing is, if you allow nature to do what nature does, and if you work in harmony with nature, we can grow natural things that nature's already shared with us, and we can fix all this. There's no reason for anybody to starve to death. We're here in 2018. We got access to, like my friend Simply Steve says all the time, the vast sum of all man's knowledge is at our fingertips. And at the top of this website, he wrote in, nature needs no improvement, only the arrogance of man requires change, and that's fact. We gotta stop counting on others to do our stuff. We need to get together and do it ourselves. And if you can't do it, and nobody else wants to do it, then I guess I'll have to do what I can do. And you do what you can do. And whatever little pieces that we finally get together and do for one another will benefit the world, even if it's only in a small way. I think we can go from broke, literally. I think we can fix it all. I think our Creator gave us the knowledge and the power on how to take care of one another and be good caretakers of all the gifts that's been given to us. And that's why I'm so passionate on the Mad Science Show. And I believe that's why my guests are so passionate on the Mad Science Show, is because we know the solutions are available and it's time for the world to implement them. So help us bring them to the table. That's all we're asking. We're not asking for your money. We're not asking for anything. All we're asking is for you to take some time, pass a link or two, jump on here with us, share some more information, and we get this thing done. What do you think, Barry? We're heading up out of here. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Mad Science Show. If you want to join in on the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow, we would love to see you there. If you're into making the world a better place, and you're the person that wants to be at the end of that table with us, it's a round table. Nobody's the boss. We're all working together. That's it. That's what the whole Knights of the Round Table concept was from the beginning, and that's what it shall be in the end. We all work together. Didn't they say that all men are created equal, Barry? Yeah, looks like I lost Barry. All right, folks, if you've been listening to Mad Science, peace and love. Podcast will be up as soon as possible. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.